Hi, welcome to the Three English Experts. I'm Dave.
I'm Rebecca.
And I'm Birgit.
And welcome to this episode.
Three English Experts is your English podcast to help you speak better English and create a positive and happy mindset for your English learning journey. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to this episode. Today, we are going back to grammar. We're making our grammar queen happy. Birgit smiling. We are going to focus on conditional to. So this is an if clause. Our conditionals episode is actually our most popular episode. So obviously, people out there like to dive into the grammar. So we're happy to focus on that today. So I will hand straight over to Birgit, who is going to explain a little bit how to form conditional to, typical problems, issues that people face with if to.
Hello, everybody. Thank you, Rebecca. Yeah, that's interesting that this is one of the most popular episodes. Probably the thing that comes to my mind is that if clause is some sort of an angst theme at school or something. People felt like it was a lot of rules. It was difficult to remember. It's more difficult to use when you talk. And why have we picked out if clause 2? Because it does trouble people when they talk. And I will explain in a second. The thing is, if you're not used to talking a lot of English, that's very common that this would come up incorrectly because it needs some training. And this is what this episode is meant to be for you, as a quick 20 minutes listening, and you might be able to fix it quickly. The if clause 2 is for hypothetical sentences. So just imagine something was different the way it is in reality. One of my examples I sometimes use is, if I won the lottery, which I don't even play, I would be, I might buy myself a ticket this week only to try, maybe give it a go. If I might buy myself a ticket, and if I won a million, oh, fantastic, I would be a millionaire. The problem, the trouble people have is because the sentence, the German sentence goes, we have twice this würde conjunctive, and this is often, or very often, translated, and not only with beginners, but also with advanced learners. Am I correct, Rebecca and Dave? Do you see
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. It's the classic mistake, the wood, putting too many woods.
Putting in. Too many
can't see the woods through the trees and all that.
Yeah. Yeah, and the thing is, the problem people face in a business setting or an environment where they do talk sometimes, but not very often. Would you ever comment on that if somebody said that incorrectly? Yeah, I'm using the if clause now. No. They're shaking their head.
No, you're not going to sit there and in a meeting and then say, oh, you use too many woods. But yeah. Of course, as trainers, we would notice. Native speaker who's maybe not an English trainer, they would notice that something sounded foreign, but they probably wouldn't know what it was. This is always the point. It's a bit like if you're German and you're not a German trainer and you're not focused on German grammar, when someone says something wrong, they say der instead of die. You know, das hört sich komisch an. It sounds a bit weird, but you might not necessarily immediately notice what is the mistake. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And it's the same for most native speakers. They just hear, okay, this is a foreign person and they said something slightly weird.
Yeah.
The communication, the message is probably not lost.
Exactly. No.
And this is what I always say, though. I think it's not, because people say, well, they understand me. And I say, yeah, of course, they still understand you. But as soon as these little mistakes start popping in, it makes it more difficult or anstrengend for the person to listen in the other language. So they immediately start thinking, oh, this is all a little bit strange. And then maybe the message does get lost because it's just that bit more difficult to listen to. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. And okay. I think I can support the learners or our students as well, because it does sound very strange to put this past tense in there at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
So the if plus past tense. Why the past tense? It doesn't really make much sense. And so I can really understand how people would think and use the would in both sides, because it also sounds easier for everybody rather than changing the verb into, as you said, the past, the won, the win, the won, the past tense. Of course, it isn't. I think this is also important, Birgit. I'm sure you were about to say this, so I'm not going to. But It's not the past tense.
I'm going to talk about this. Yes. Thank you, Dave. Yeah. And the other thing that's very interesting, that's why I asked the question to the natives, how does it sound? Would you ever correct people? Because, of course, that's a moment in a conversation for somebody not sure about being not sure about what he says in a different language. Is it good enough? So how does it feel for the, what do they think? Because one thing is that people might not fully understand you, the listener. The other thing is that I know a lot of my learners feel they don't want to make mistakes. And that's one of the things which is nice to be able to avoid making that, if it's called a mistake, because as Rebecca said correctly, the message will not get lost. So don't worry about this. Yes, it's the if. So this is what we learned in school here in Germany. In England, I think it goes, this is if and would never could, which I like, but we didn't learn that. We learned, so if and would sollten nicht in der gleichen, im gleichen Satzteil sein. So you have to put if and the simple past tense. Zweite, the second form of each verb, could be irregular. And then on the other part of the clause, you can use would or could or should. And why does it feel so strange? Of course, people say, yes, simple past. What does it have to do with the past? Nothing, of course. But we have something similar, and that's how I can explain it maybe to you. Wenn ich zur Kirche ginge, that's our Präteritum, which we use in writing more than in talking. Dann wäre ich or gläubig. And that's the same thing. Ginge, well, that's past, preteritum. I guess it's you create this distance. It's not the reality. Does that make sense to you? This is why the language takes to this feature?
Absolutely. It's this moving one step away from what's actually happening. It's like you said, I haven't even bought a lotto ticket. If I won the lotto, you can still say, even if you haven't bought a ticket, because it's not reality. I haven't even bought a ticket. And even if I've bought a ticket, the chances of me winning are so small.
Minimum.
That you would always say, you don't say if I win the lottery, you wouldn't use first, because it's then you're really convinced you're going to win, which would be a bit over-optimistic.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's this step away. I love the using the Ginge. I think that's a really good way for German speakers to understand the point there. That's actually a really good point.
Yeah.
And we never use this in speaking. We all know that, of course, with our mother tongue. It's there and we can use it. It's not a problem to understand what it means, but we don't actually use it. And in English, it's just they stick, or English sticks to that version much stricter. But we have the option always to say, wenn ich das tun würde, dann würde was anderes passieren. Of course, this is basically twice would, and that doesn't work in English. I think I want to repeat just to make people understand what's wrong. So if I would go to church, that might sound, and I remember that, actually, I remember that sounded for a very long time, that sounded okay in my mind. Yeah? And that's a problem. But if I went or if I visited church, and that's the correct part. Yeah, you have to train that. So please try to train if I did, if I won, if I had, if I chose. You can do that exercise with all the verb tenses. And then on the other part, it's the would.
I have to just say, Birgit, you've just given me a bit of a traumatic flashback.
Oh, sorry.
To my German university German grammar
I'm so sorry.
Lectures. And I remember sitting with two of my friends and they were going about the preter, what was it, the conjunctive and the preterite, and I was sitting there going, oh my goodness, what is this all about? And this Ginge, I think I remember that now, that we were forming it with würde, and she was going, oh, but you can also say, wenn ich ginge. Oh, goodness me. Sorry.
No, no.
Grammatical traumatic flashback there.
That's just nice for listeners who struggle with English to see.
It's not only you.
Every language learner struggles.
We feel the pain. We feel the pain.
I would say German is also not that easy, right? It's
No.
It is tricky.
Plusquamperfekt, yeah.
Oh, plusquamperfekt, yes.
If I were you, Rebecca, I would not learn German now. For example.
For example.
For example. And that kind of leads us on to what I'd like to tell you a little bit about some of these little phrases that are often used in English, which are formed with this first part of the conditional to, so this if and then the past tense form. And we often use these actually for giving advice. So if somebody asks you for what you would do What would you do? So the result bit, the second bit of the second conditional, the second part, the result bit, I always call it, where you say the would and then the infinitive form, what would you do? And then the if bit is, if you were in my place, if you were me, what would you do? So it's a way of giving advice. And I think they're also very powerful little phrases when you're having conversations. If I were you, I would learn more English. If I were you, I would go to the gym more often, especially here in the beginning of the year, we often talk about going to the gym. Or a more colloquial way in this context, also giving advice, if I were in your shoes, not only do you say if I were, you can also say if I were in your shoes. There's a couple of other ones. For example, it talked about doing the lottery ticket, but often people complain about, let's say, society or how the government runs or how the company runs that they work in or something. And of course, then they want to say, if I were the boss or if I were in charge, I'd want to do it this way or I would do it this way. So again, this is another way where you're obviously not the boss, not the prime minister, the chancellor, whatever it might be. You can't and you won't do it, but you're imagining the situation. And that's another one. And finally, Rebecca, get ready. There is a very famous song by a lady called Cher. And she also uses a fantastic second conditional phrase. Are you ready, Rebecca? One, two, three.
If I could turn back time.
Wow.
I would say if you're using could instead of would, so it can, past form could.
Thanks for the explanation. There you go. So if I could turn back time, that is another fantastic second conditional. What would you do?
So if I could turn back time, this is another point. She says, I'd take back all the things that hurt you. And this is the other point I think people forget, that often the would gets reduced to I'd, because she says, if I could find a way, I'd take back all the things that hurt you and you would stay. So the would gets contracted, and I think that often gets lost.
Yeah, very interesting. And that's very confusing.
It's good that you knew the lyrics, Rebecca.
I do. It's one of my favorite karaoke hits.
I'm sure you could sing the whole song.
The karaoke. I only knew the first bit.
My husband's cringing right now. He's probably, as soon as it comes on, I'm over at the bar. There was a situation, I think it came on. I was over at the bar buying drinks and I was like reaching out to him across the bar.
I didn't know you were.
Oh dear. Yes.
And the other thing I remember, what I found helpful when I tried to remember this correctly, as I said, it sounded okay. And I was like uncertain. Oh, what do I have to say? One of my tips is train it with the negative. If I didn't have a job, if the Ukraine didn't fight against Russia, of course, very often you turn again to was or wasn't, but try to fill in didn't, because that makes it more obvious for the brain. It's the past tense here. And the other thing, what I personally find most difficult about the if clause too, is this hypothetical pronunciation. Can you pronounce that correctly for me, please?
Hypothetical.
Hypo, not hippo. Hypo.
Hypothetical.
Yeah, hypothetical.
Und die Hypothese, please.
Hypothese, hypothesis. Hypothesis. Yeah. That's tricky. Yeah.
I hate it.
Yeah.
Just say unreal. Say unreal.
Unrealistic. Oh,
it's easy. It's unrealistic. Yeah. Work around. If you can't pronounce it, work around.
Unreal. Yeah. It's unreal situation.
I make a fool out of me every time I say hypothetical.
Unreal.
The last point we were going to make is just, so Dave was talking about giving advice. It's often also used in things like negotiating. For example, if we offered you, so offered past tense, if we offered you a 10% discount, would you be willing to book or would you buy the product? Or if we delivered by the end of January, would that change your opinion? And people say, well, why is it conditional too? Because isn't it realistic? Does that mean you're not going to offer me a discount? It is realistic. It's just I'm testing the water. So if we did that, would you maybe consider this? And it's this sort of testing. Is the person even interested? And they go, no, that's absolutely out of the question. Okay, forget about it. But they might go, yeah, maybe we would do that. One last point I have to say, just popping into my head right now, the Irish are obsessed with using would. So would is used so often here in Ireland. And I always joke and say, why is everything hypothetical? Or you say, oh, I saw Mrs. La La La, my neighbor last week. And they will say, oh, and would she be 80 now? Would she be 80? She is 80. She would be. She's still alive and she's 80. They have this tendency to use the would because it's all a little bit slightly distanced and a little bit like, I'm not really sure. So I'll use the would form. It's kind of funny, but you do hear that in Irish. If you're into accents, dialects, Irish English, if you watch anything with Irish English on Netflix, you will listen out for the would because they love using would.
Mm-hmm. And I think there are a lot of other natives that also get it wrong with the second condition as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
And also various accents from various areas.
Don't say it's wrong. You see, my husband will get very annoyed now if you say it's wrong. It's not wrong. It's just different.
Yeah,
just
different.
Bending the rules.
Very thin ice.
Okay, well, that brings us nicely to our golden nugget.
The golden nugget.
Our golden nugget today is still on the topic of conditional two. And as Dave said, there are these times when even natives mix things up. So the question is it really a mistake or is it just colloquial? So the classic one is if I were and if I was. You will hear a lot of people say, if I was you, if I was you, if I was the King of England, I would do this. If I was the CEO, officially that is not grammatically correct. So it should really be if I were you, if I were the CEO, if I were the King of England. However, I do it. I think Dave does it as well, I'm quite sure. And a lot of native speakers do this. It's kind of, I don't know if we call it slang, it's colloquial. Is it wrong? In written form, I would say yes, it's definitely wrong. I would definitely avoid doing it in written form. You will hear people say it. So I can't sit here and say, oh, it's wrong to say that because it's not. But just if you hear that and you're confused and you think, well, is it was or is it were? Officially, it's were, if I were you. We were talking before about songs. So there's a famous Beyonce song, If I Were a Boy, I Would Switch Off My Phone, for example. So I would, again, she's contracting the I in the would, I'd switch off my phone if I were a boy, not if I was a boy. So generally, that is the correct form. But again, people do both.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
So that's our golden nugget.
Thank you, Rebecca. And for next time, we thought looking into the newspapers would be a good topic for us to work with you. And in particular, the headlines. If you ever read the newspapers in English, firstly, you will be surprised by some of the vocab, I'm sure. They're often very short items of vocab because the headline is there to be short and also then to catch your eye. So a lot of the words are a lot shorter and you don't necessarily know what they mean because the real word, the normal word that we use in English is maybe completely different or a longer form of it. So firstly, there's the vocabulary. And secondly, actually, there's quite a lot of grammar things to be aware of when you're reading the newspapers, because sometimes the grammar is, or it is written in a way that sounds confusing in the normal grammar context. So next time we're going to shed some light on firstly, some of the vocab that you might need when you're reading the newspaper headlines. And secondly, some of the little grammar things to be aware of when you're reading your news next week.
Oh,
next
I love that.
Month and each year.
As a journalist.
Yeah. There you go. And we're making Birgit happy with some journalistic stuff and some grammar.
Oh, wonderful.
Two for the price of one.
Perfect match.
Okay, bye for now. See you next time.
Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for pressing play today. If you enjoy our podcast, please share with your friends, your family, or your co-workers. Or you can also support us by giving us a thumbs up or a star rating or a review on whatever podcast platform you are using to listen to us. For questions and comments, you can also head over to our website, 3EnglishExperts.com. Thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate your support. Have a great day and see you next time.